An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
This song is about one thing, basketball. Is there, like, there's just so many good baseball songs. I can't think of any good hockey or football songs off the top of my head. And when I thought, what's a good basketball song? That's the only one that came to mind. So, you know, it's like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na is used by sports teams, but that's not a sports song. So I'm just, Sam, you got any help for us on that?
I have two for you, if you'd like.
Here's Sam Panionovic, Nesson sports analyst and also regular with John Landecker and quite occasionally with me.
And friend of John Williams. I thought you were going to say that at the end.
Former sports dude here and longtime friend of this show.
So when I think of a basketball song, I think of Sirius by the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which was the longtime intro of the Michael Jordan Bulls.
It's not a
basketball song. What about, okay, let me raise you Round Ball Rock by John Tesh.
Oh, the NBA theme.
NBA and NBC.
That song was specifically written for that purpose.
Did you hear the story of how he wrote that song?
No,
it came to him. I don't know where he was. He was on the road. He calls his house and leaves a voicemail of him doing what I just did, humming the song.
I wonder how much money that song and revenues has generated for him over the years.
That song is now owned by Fox, too. Fox bought the rights to the song, and Fox uses the song that NBC used throughout the soundtrack of the 90s. It was nothing like Marv Albert setting the tone for the Bulls and the Knicks next on NBC. Bang!
How are you, Sam Panionovic?
Doing good. You have your bracket? Did you fill it out yet?
I did. I went to WGNRadio.com/hoops and made mine out.
I was going to do that, but if I win, I feel like people will be upset.
Well, they put us in a special category. I don't know if I should say this, but I can't win, which I probably should say this. So, while you can see my bracket, if I win, I don't get the $500 gift card.
You know somebody like Julie in traffic is going to win it, though. That's always how it is.
Julian Traffic will win it if Michigan State wins it all, because that's her team.
Right. She'll probably put them in the Final Four, won't she?
That's a hard thing. I mean, like I said to Dave Ennett, you got Northwestern going the whole way. I actually didn't look at his bracket, but he said, yeah. But, I mean, he's realistic about this sort of thing. Frankly, I've got Northwestern losing in the first round.
I actually did put the Cats beating Florida Atlantic, but that's an 8-9. That could go either way. I mean, in all reality, King, I will probably, and I brought my paper bracket that I picked up in Vegas a couple of days ago, I will probably rip this in half by Saturday. It happens every year.
What's the hardest regional for you?
Bottom left.
Which is the
That's the Carolina, West. Arizona, Baylor region.
Well, the problem for some of us who like to play this and enjoy watching college basketball is I don't watch a lot of West Coast basketball. And then the smaller teams, you know, you really had to go out of your way to find it. And you didn't know which ones to look for. Every now and then during the season, I'll be watching college basketball and a game will come up that I have no interest in. And I think, well, I'd better study this one. Who knows? Maybe Longwood is going to be in the tournament this year.
And Longwood is a 16, top right.
Incidentally, in every tournament since 2021, which isn't like going back to the 1960s, but at least there is this tweet today, in every tournament since 2021, a top two seed has lost in the first round to a team with a phallic, euphemistic name. So this year, Purdue takes on Farley Dickinson. You've got Longwood. No, in 2023, Purdue lost to Farley Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
And the list goes on.
Well, there was a loss. Didn't Purdue lose to St. Peter's? Is that what we're counting? Does that check the box?
In 2022, St. Peter's beat Kentucky. The year before that, Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. And this year, Houston against Longwood.
I don't think Longwood's going to beat Houston. The number in that game. So Houston is a 25-point favorite. I don't think Longwood is going to carry the trend. Sorry.
Can we jump to the chase and ask you what your Final Four is?
Sure. I only have one number one seed. So I try to do this because most people that fill the brackets out are going to put multiple ones. UConn's really, really good. I had to put them through top left. Top right is my champ, who I've been talking about since November. It's not exactly popular, but I don't care. That's how you win brackets. I put Kentucky to beat Houston.
Barack Obama's got them in the championship game.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's right, because if Kentucky wins, I'll win a lot of money. Bottom right, I went Creighton over Purdue. Really like Creighton. And then the bottom left, as I told you, is my chaos bracket. I have St. Mary's beating Baylor.
Oh, aren't you a smarty pants?
And watch them lose.
You guys get out over your skis.
What is this you guys stuff?
Well, those people who know a lot about sports, and then it's like, dude, get a small number. Pick a one or a two. I would like to see, I don't know that they always publish this, but if you just say, as the tournament evolves, if you just had the smaller number, the higher seed winning every single game, how would that bracket be doing? And I'll bet it would be in the top 80% of all brackets every year.
Maybe. Not last year, though, because last year
it was a record high number.
Purdue got knocked out in the first game.
But you have like a 5 and a 9 in the final four. Last year we were talking about this with Dave Bennett. The final four was a pretty big number.
You had a 4 that won it, UConn. They played a 5 in the championship, San Diego State. And the other two teams were Miami a 5 and Florida Atlantic a 9.
So is Florida Atlantic still good?
They don't play defense this year, but they remind me a lot. Remember when Butler went to the Final Four the first time around? They had Gordon Hayward. They lost at the buzzer to Duke. They went back, I believe, the next year.
They did.
But they weren't as good as they were the previous year. Like, they were a much better team. They had more talent, but they found ways to win, and they knew how to win. And I think that's a tough draw for Northwestern, top left, because while the Cats played good for 3 months, they got really banged up injury-wise.
Yeah.
And now they have to face a team that won a lot of close games last year and lost by a point in the Final Four. That's the old question. How much do you weigh Final Four experience for a team that has been there but hasn't really performed this year? It's a fascinating conversation, and I think you made a joke, and you're actually not half wrong. You're half right. We do overthink these brackets. That's why I only do one sheet and I fill it out one time. A lot of people do 8 brackets, 9
yeah,
brackets.
Right.
I fill this out one time. Look, I only made one mistake right here.
One cross
bottom
out
right.
And start over again.
That's it. That's in the Elite 8. So
I'm going to borrow your bracket here in just a second.
Okay. Yes,
and we'll kind of go through that. And just help our listeners too, Sam. So if there are some 12s you like over a 5 or some upsets or some, you know, if you don't want to just pick the smaller number over the bigger number, give us some of your suggestions in a minute. We'll come back with that. 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Incidentally, speaking of that Butler-Duke final game, producer Pete was down a rabbit hole a couple days ago and watched that video again. If you want to just see what would have been the most spectacular finish to an NCAA tournament ever, go watch Gordon Hayward's 75-foot heave from beyond the half-court line when Butler was trying to upset Duke. And it would have been, some people describe that as the greatest NCAA tournament ever, in part because of Butler's run. Butler was a really good team that year, so it's not like they were unheralded. But it was Butler against Duke in the finals. John Shire was on the floor.
He was.
For that game. And Hayward, who went on to become a multimillionaire in the NBA, he was a high school tennis player who evolved at Butler and became a terrific player. He hoists that ball. It hits the rim. He almost made that shot.
Mm.
Talk about your shining moment. So give me some knowledge, man. So,
last year I told you Furman was going to beat Virginia in the first round.
You did.
And they did at the buzzer. So no pressure. I'm going to give you 2 that are going to win. And these are both double-digit seeds.
Is that a 15-2? What was that?
Furman, that was Virginia. A 13 over a 4, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the bottom right of the bracket,
yeah,
and we're taking out Bill Self in the first game. That is the 13 Samford, not Stanford, not Staniford, Samford over Kansas.
Yeah,
Kansas'
sure.
Best player, Kevin McCullough, is out for the tournament. I know Pete knows the Big 12 really well. Kansas is pretty soft this year, like an ice cream cone in the summer. I don't like Kansas, so they're going out. And then top left, Everybody loves the Drake, is what the kids are saying. Not only do I have Drake beating Washington State, I have Drake taking out Iowa State in the second round.
Wow, well, that's one of the twos that we got to drop. So there you go. Drake had a nice tournament. They look good. I saw the championship game. I thought they looked pretty dang good.
Very good team. Upper-class guards, solid defense, efficient, make free throws, well-coached. So I have Illinois and Drake meeting in Boston for the right to play UConn. That would be, if we can get UConn, Illinois, top left, to go to the Final Four, that would be a great game.
Well, and that's not improbable. That's a 3 and a 1. So I like that.
That's my Elite Eight top left. But I think another team that's going to be really popular is to the top right. I didn't put it in my bracket, but I did bet this team, +5.5. James Madison, that 12 seed against Wisconsin. James Madison is 31-3 this year. And if there's a team that finds ways to win, it is the Dukes of James Madison. I didn't do it because I got a little scared. I looked at my bracket and I said, all right, I have too many upsets. So I did put Wisconsin ahead. I stand by Samford and stand by Drake making runs.
Yeah, it's hard to know what to make of teams that have really good records but don't play in great conferences. Indiana State's an example. Should they have been in the tournament?
Yes. Did you watch Virginia last night?
Yeah, that was like one of the worst performances by a team in the tournament ever.
They went 10 minutes without scoring a basket. And the committee said, we need them in.
Yeah.
We're going to keep St. John's out, and we're going to keep Seton Hall out.
I thought Indiana State looked soft, though. I didn't. I thought, go ahead and put them in the tournament. They will lose the first game.
But that kid, remember the kid they were calling Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah.
He played at Oak Forest.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Robbie Avila played at Oak Forest. So I was hoping they were going to put him in. That's the big kid with the tattoos and the goggles.
Yeah, yeah. Who's like 6'10 and is going to have a nice career in Europe, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's good. I was hoping they should have been in over Virginia. If you watched Virginia last night and that was the first college basketball game you ever watched, you probably thought this sport sucks.
What's a team that you like to root against? Is it Kansas? Because a lot of people like to root against
Kansas. No, it's not Kansas. I picked Kansas 2 years ago, and they won the whole thing. A team that I hate to root against?
Hate to root for.
Oh, like to root for.
Like to root against.
I am so confused. Am I rooting for or against?
This is a team that you want to see lose right now.
Usually it's Indiana, but poor them. They didn't quite make the cut this year.
Okay, I'll let you answer that question, but just you brought up Indiana. My son reminded me that Indiana doesn't ever go to the NIT, or at least they have passed on that tournament in the past. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. I thought that was a new phenomenon because of NIL or the portal or something. What do you make of teams like Oklahoma and was it St. John's?
There were 15 teams that passed on the NIT.
And the NIT, I think, is actually a good tournament this year. I think because the Big East got aced out. There's a lot of good Big East teams in the tournament. Butler's no longer there. But anyway, what do you make of this business of teams passing on the NIT?
I always thought the NIT was a good launching pad for the next season.
100%.
Because while you didn't make the big dance, you're still technically playing for a championship.
Learn to win those games.
Exactly. So I don't understand it. This is the biggest exodus, or maybe not an exodus, the biggest gaggle of opt-outs for an NIT that I've ever seen. And I also want to say, and I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but is it no longer in the Garden in New York? Like, I think that might play into it, too. The NIT, like the championship forever, was at Madison Square Garden.
This year it's the Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Okay. So maybe that, you know, you're not playing in the mecca of...
A small place in Indianapolis. No.
I love Hinkle, though. I mean, that's...
That's a great place to watch a basketball game, but it ain't the Garden.
I never liked Duke. I just didn't know if the Shire family tree was listening. I hate that team.
Well, I think they
I like him.
That.
I like Shire.
I do, too. By the way, there's a pretty funny meme out there. Is this a meme, Pete? Where can we tell people to look at this if they want to? It's on Twitter. There's a... If I show you the coach... And then guess the occupation he would have.
Oh, that's,
If he wasn't
that's
a basketball coach.
That's the coach at Florida Atlantic. What does it say? Motivational speaker?
Dusty May, FAU, infomercial spokesperson.
Oh, spokesperson. Okay, so not informational speaker, spokesperson.
Chris Collins, Northwestern local bank
banker.
Executive.
Yeah, he looks like a banker for
oh,
sure.
Oh, you're good at this. You're two for
oh,
two.
Oh, give me another one. I've seen this, Pete. Don't tell him. Don't tell him I've already
Brad
seen this.
Brad Underwood from Illinois.
Oh, wasn't it? Was it a dentist?
Personal injury attorney. Tom Izzo, Michigan State University. If he wasn't a basketball coach, he would be...
Mafioso.
He would be a funeral home director.
Oh, that's rude.
Fred Hoiberg, formerly of the Bulls.
Accountant.
He would be a tennis coach. John Shire, physical therapist, and the list goes on.
I only saw a couple of those. Funeral director is that's a tough one. It's a tough look.
Shaka Smart, this is for my friend Steve Bertrand of
Shaka
Marquette.
Smart would be on the billboards with Urlacher on 290 for the hair. Remember when Shaka Smart used to be bald? Now he's got like the chia pet on top.
Best writer for local pro sports team.
Okay.
He looks like one of those guys who was always on the sidelines at a game wishing he could get in. All right, so one more time, Sam Panayanovich, you gave us some nice tips here. You said that you like
Samford and Drake.
You like Samford over Kansas. You like Drake winning their game.
Winning two games.
You got actually Drake winning two games. Your final four, one more time, is?
UConn, St. Mary's, Kentucky, Creighton.
You have your final two?
Kentucky over UConn.
And you got the final game?
I just told you. Kentucky.
You got Kentucky winning it all?
Yeah, I do.
And what's your point total for that last game?
Oh, geez. If it's a Kentucky game, probably in the 80s, 81 to 77 or something like that.
So over 150 points scored in the final game, you think?
Kentucky has four NBA players, 3 7-footers. They shoot 41% from three as a team. They're young.
How many games does Purdue have to win to sort of get over the hump?
How about the Elite Eight?
Yeah. Okay.
Got to get out of the first weekend. They haven't made a Final Four since 1980.
And they've had monstrously tall guys for the last 10 years, it seems. Sometimes two of them at once. So good luck to Purdue. Good luck to... I'm rooting for the Big Ten. I'm rooting for the Big East. I've got two Big East teams in my final, too. I've got Marquette and UConn. I've got UConn winning it.
We got to get DePaul back in the tourney, buddy. We got to work on that.
Hey, do you like the chance that... their new coach might be able to get them some players and get that program back on its feet.
Chris
Holtman's a good coach.
I thought they should have brought Porter Moser back to Chicago.
Yeah.
He could recruit Chicago. He did it for years at Loyola.
It is a shame to see these great players. I watched the Peoria Richwoods High School Super Sectional game against Thornton, and you had the Sun-Times Player of the Year on the floor going to Rutgers, and you had another kid that was going to go to Illinois. But these are Illinois kids. One's a Chicago kid, and they're taking a pass on Northwestern or Northern or the U of I, and DePaul would have had him if they could, but those kids just flee the city, and it's a shame.
He's going to lovely New Jersey.
I know. Stay here. It's a lovely town. Sam, when am I going to see or hear you again? How can folks find you?
They could just follow me on social media at SPShoot. Just don't follow me home from work when I give you a losing pick. And look, if Kentucky makes a run, buddy, I'll be very happy. Just get me to the Final Four and see what happens.
Sam Panayanovich, betting analyst at the New England Sports Network, and you frequently hear him with John Landecker, too, at NESN.com. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.